He called us this morning at 4:30 to let us know he was sick and he wasn't going to be here. So as a result of that, you've got one of the elders trying to fill in. I want to talk with you just a little while this morning, very short. It's not going to be a long lesson. But let me ask you this. What did you worry about in 2025? And don't say you didn't. Don't say you didn't. Because you did. I did. So what do we worry about? Jesus, in the reading this morning, told us what? Don't be what? Anxious. That's just another word for worry. Don't worry. And then he lists all these things that we shouldn't worry about. Because if we're a child of God, if we are a faithful believer and obeyer of Jesus, all those things that he lists, we don't need to be worrying about those things. Now, I understand it's easier said than done. I'm pushing 80. And so I lived a little while, Sylvia. And I've observed through the years that there are certain things most everybody seems to worry about. And all three of these things that I'm going to talk about just shortly, Jesus talked about in Matthew 10. I've also observed through the years in talking to people that these three things, and that there are many things that people worry about, I'm not saying this is it, obviously, but all of these things are mentioned in Matthew 10. Jesus talks about them, and he talks about them in the scriptures other places. So let's look at the Bible a little bit and look at some other verses other than what we just had read. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians chapter 4. And let's see what the apostle tells us about worry. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. Now, the version that I'm reading, in that reading that Jimmy read, the word says, it says anxious. Well, in this particular passage, it uses the same word. Begin with verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The Apostle Paul, as he's inspired, says, don't be anxious, don't worry, but instead fill your mind with that which is honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, excellent, of praise, and let your mind dwell on. That's what we're to dwell on. I don't remember exactly what year, maybe somebody can tell me, but I don't remember when the ability to gamble came to Tennessee. And the idea was, well, we let people gamble this money, and we'll take this money, and we'll support the schools with it. I believe the schools need to be supported. I don't think gambling is the right way to do it, though. I remember very, very well the first time I went into a gas station where they were selling tickets to gamble. And the line was out the door. You couldn't pay for your gas because the line was out the door. People buy tickets. And you could always tell what day was payday. Still can. Go to a place that sells tickets, whatever kind, and the line will be there. I was in Walmart yesterday, and there was a guy at a machine in there buying gambling tickets. And what's so sad about that is people think that if they win the lottery or whatever, that's going to solve all their problems. But it's not. It's going to create problems. It's not going to solve anything. And the reason I say that is because the majority of people who gamble lose. At least that's what I'm told. That's not the way to live our lives. It won't work. Because more people will lose money than ever win money. I saw the other day that last thing, it got up to how many billion? I don't even remember. A couple of weeks ago. And I put it up on the internet just to see, and it listed all the people who won that thing, and the majority of them are what? Guess what? Broke. They're broke. So people worry. And they think that's going to solve their worries. If you get enough money, that's going to take care of everything. It's not going to take care of everything. It's going to create more problems. It's been shown. I also noticed that when they started that mess, that they all came out and said, now we've got to get a hotline up so when the people who get addicted to it, they'll have somebody to call to help them get out of the problem that they're in. Doesn't solve anything. Paul says, don't be anxious. Jesus says, don't be anxious. And when we read what Paul says, and we read what Jesus said, he lists the things that we shouldn't be anxious over. If you're here this morning and you're in Christ Jesus, you shouldn't be worrying about things. Most of the things that we worry about, we have no control over anyway. People, I'll just list a few things. When I talk to people, I talk to people a lot about these kinds of things. Would you like to guess what the number one thing people worry about? Money. Money. If I just have enough money, that'll take care of my problems. And so they go out and they throw all this money away, buying whatever. And they don't win, and they just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Second thing that people worry about, dying. They worry about dying. Now, the last I heard, we don't have any, there's one thing absolutely true, we're all going to die. We're never going to get out of this world alive. Now, Jesus may come back, and he will come back. And when he comes, there's going to be a resurrection. Matthew 10 tells us that. Of both those who live righteously and those who live evilly. We're all going to die unless he comes. And we read in the Corinthians that we'll be changed in the moment. And changed into a spiritual body, whatever that is, looks like. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. On Judgment Day. But people worry about dying. And you have no control of it. I have no control of when I'm going to die. So instead, rather than worrying about dying, does it make a better sense to be in Jesus Christ? And if I die, I'm going to be okay. Because if I'm in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter when I die. It doesn't matter when you die. If you're in the Lord, a faithful servant of the Lord, you obey the gospel, you're going to win when you die. We shouldn't worry about that. But I hear it all the time. Oh, I'm just worried about dying. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to die. And we shouldn't do that. Health. I can sort of understand that one because I'm pushing. I won't tell you how close. But I'm pushing 80. I'm pushing 80 years old, just a couple of years to go. And my health isn't great anymore. I know a lot of people is. Eddie back there, I know poor Eddie back there, his knees, I don't see how he stands on them sometimes. And I know a lot of you have bad health issues. But worrying about it ain't going to change it. You can go to the doctor and do what they can do for you, but ultimately, some things go so bad on you that you just, there's nothing you can do. It's just the way it is. Have to do the best we can. So worrying about health doesn't change it. Go see a doctor. Find somebody that can help you with those health issues. But don't sit around worrying about it. My dad said twiddling your thumbs. Turn with me to the book of James chapter 4. James has something to say about this. James chapter 4, 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today and tomorrow we shall go to such a city and spend a year and there engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. We can be healthy today, Steve, and not be so healthy tomorrow. We don't know that. Then he goes on to say, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor, you're like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We're just like in the morning when it's all foggy and it stays foggy and then the sun comes and burns the fog off and then it's clear. That's what he's talking about. That's what our life is like, he says. Instead, here's what you do. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live, and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. It matters not how long we live, it matters what? How we live. Not matters what we do, as long as we're doing the right thing. It matters not how much money we earn or have. It's what we do with it. I'm going to have something to say about that more in just a minute. Those things don't matter. It's how we take the blessings that we have and the goodness that God shows us every single day we're alive on this earth and what we do with it. But sitting around twiddling thumbs, worrying about this, that, or the other, solves nothing. Just makes you more miserable than you already are. Turn with me over to the book of, see if I can find it, where I'm looking for. Yeah, turn with me to Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Do you know that your works, while you're here on this earth, is going to follow you? And when we stand before the Lord in judgment, we will give an account for those works. And they need to be good works. They need to be good things. They need to be things that praise the Lord and honor Him. We're here on this earth to serve. We're here to serve by following the Lord and doing everything that we can to take somebody with us, as many as we can. That's why we're here. We're not here to earn thousands of dollars or win the lottery or all that stuff. That's not why we're here. He didn't put us here for that reason. Now, yes, we got to have money to live, and yes, we got to have homes to live in and clothes to wear. That's what Jesus talked about that we read about earlier. He'd provide those things. Turn with me to the book of Acts, 2 Corinthians, just a minute. Chapter 8. Got to get my glasses on. Let's see what I'm looking for. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about giving. And in the 8th chapter of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians rather, there was a need to send money, raise money, and send it to some brethren far off that needed help. And a principle is laid down here, a principle that we need to be sure that we listen to it and follow it. It's very, very easy. Just listen to it. It's just the 12th verse. Let's start at verse 11. But now finish doing it also, that just as there was readiness to desire it, so there may also be completion in it by your ability. Now look at verse 12. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a man has, not according to what he doesn't have. Read it one more time. If the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a man has, and not according to what he does not have. What's that saying? It's saying God holds us accountable what we do with what we have. And sometimes you'll hear people say, well, if I just had $1 million, I'd do this or I'd do that. God doesn't hold me accountable for $1 million I don't have. But he sure holds me accountable for the $20 bill that's in my billfold and what I do with it. And I'm afraid maybe in the church we've never quite got that. I don't know, but just do with what you have, and I've got to do with what I have, to honor the Lord, bring praise to Jesus, and to help others. Don't base your decisions on what you can do, on what you don't have, is what he's saying, on what you do have. And in the church, you know, sometimes we, if we're not careful, we can get in the habit of giving the same thing, you know, week after week after, and never change it. Maybe get raised, but don't ever change. Just same money, same thing. We have opportunities. We're here to serve. We're here to serve. Christians are here to serve and live a life and show it to others and try to bring them along. Set an example. But every single day we live, if you're outside your house, and it may be true in your house, but if you go outside your house, whether it's Walmart or whether it's wherever, opportunities will come to you and come to me to serve others. And a lot of times we let them just pass right by us because we're too busy with our world to take the time of an opportunity to serve others. And that's true with whatever money we have, to use it the right way, and to honor God by serving others. We're here to serve and take as many people to heaven as we possibly can. So, with that said, why do we worry? Why do we worry? On things that we have absolutely no control over. Now, if it's something we can do something about, then do it. But don't sit around whining about it. Do it. And don't spend time worrying about, well, if I had this or I had that, I could do this or I could do that. Take what God has blessed us with and use it to serve the Lord and to His glory and to get people to learn and obey Jesus Christ. And that's all I've got to say. I'm through. Told you it wouldn't last long. If you're here today, though, and you're not a Christian yet, you've never obeyed the gospel. What is that? Someone says, well, do you believe? Are you here today and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You believe that in your heart. You know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that belief that he is, you're willing to stand up and confess him. You see, I believe the Ethiopian eunuch, when he was asked, do you believe? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, He went down in the water. He was immersed in water for the remission of his sins. The Bible tells us that baptism saves us. It is for remission of sins. We have to get rid of our sins. And the only way we can do that is through baptism. And then once we have been baptized into Christ, then we serve him the best we can. And when we fail, and we'll fail sometime, but repent of those sins just like we do when we first obey the gospel. So if you're here and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're willing to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're willing to repent. That just simply means turn from the life you've been living and turn to live in the way the Lord wants you to live. And then you're willing to be immersed in the water for the forgiveness of your sins. The only way we can have our sins forgiven is through baptism. And then we're added to the church. Jesus adds us to his church. Not this building, his church, his bride. And then when we fall and fail, we can go to him in prayer and ask him to forgive us, repent of that, and ask him, and he's promised that he would. When you get a chance, read the book of 1 John, first chapter. It talks about that. Great assurance in that passage. Okay? So, if you're here and you want to obey the gospel, where's my song leader? There he is. If you're willing to do that today, and if you're here, you're already a member of the Lord's church, then just keep on being faithful the best you can. If you'd like to obey the gospel this morning, if you'll come forward, we'll be glad to talk to you about it and immerse you in water for the forgiveness of your sins if you want to do that. You ready? Okay, let's sing. Please stand.